it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Last case. And this one is really, this is through the Rex Heuermann case, really asunder for me. Anyway, Rex Heuermann spent 17 years hiding in plain sight, married, working as an architect in Manhattan, living a few miles from where he dumped the bodies. Then in April, he pleaded guilty to 8 murders in one flat, emotionless afternoon. And in June, a judge gave him 3 life sentences plus 100 years and told him to his face he was a coward. He's sitting in Clinton Correctional now, agreeing to sit down with the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit. And while at least one victim known as only Asian Doe still doesn't have her name back, and that's the question that keeps landing in the inbox. If it took 3 decades and this much luck to catch one man, how many more Rex Heuermanns are out there right now? Banking on the same thing he did, nobody would look too hard for the women he chose. Anyway, also with this too, I definitely want to go down the road of the therapist, because that's amazing to me. Anyway, what do you
think? And that's where a lot of the questions are coming in, because if the therapist isn't licensed and any of that she presented to courts or whatever, does all of that now fruit of the poison tree? Does it have to be tossed? She wasn't licensed. Is anything like that? I mean, does this set him up for an appeal that'll get him out of a guilty plea?
No, we asked Derek that on Thursday. He said no.
Oh, okay.
Lisa, you were so on. As I asked that same question of Eric, our prosecutor and defense attorney, because I was worried that might overturn things or give them grounds for appeal. No, it does not. So I did a deeper dive on how could this possibly happen. And it's actually incumbent upon the Correctional Institute and their mental health unit to actually do the verifications of anyone coming in there as a therapist to work with clients. And also it's on the lawyer that actually did the recommendation as well to do the due diligence. And no one did that due diligence. But I want to hit on something here that's been really interesting on this one to me. This to me, so I'm going to start my little weekly thing I was telling Todd about, of doing on our show on Mondays, the weekly behavioral wobble or the tempo tell, as I call them. This therapist gave me the wobble, gave us all the wobble, and it gave us a wobble in 2 areas. One, Asa living in the bedroom of the murderer after the remodel. You know, we're all of us, and we asked Siobhan, you know, our amazing psychotherapist on Wednesdays, what's going on with that? What therapist would recommend this? And now, to Siobhan's great credit, you know, she's given a lot of grace to the therapist, because this is, you know, you can't tell the client what to do or not to do, kind of help guide them towards their healing, which was really spot on. But it was still the fact that Asa's living in that room was a wobble to me. I'll tell you what the biggest wobble before that happened was just watching the Peacock special. I'm looking at this therapist spilling her guts about her clients. And I remember asking Siobhan about this as well. What therapist would actually spill their guts so much on TV about their clients, both of them, about what's going on? So again, when you see a wobble like that, and I don't know for a fact, but I think that's what drew the attention for people to do this deep dive and find out, oh, you're a fraud. Because you had 2 big wobbles going on there. Because when we see the wobbles, doesn't mean something's right or wrong. It attracts our attention. Those behaviors would have attracted my attention.
It's interesting that you mentioned what therapist would be talking about their clients in a situation like that, because I would think that all of that would fall under HIPAA. And even if you did sign away your privacy rights, I think that's definitely a problematic.
I imagine that it's the other therapists out there that saw that. And regardless of the fact that you signed it away, the fact that they did that anyway, because again, what's the intent? What's her, you always look at intent. What was her intent about going on Peacock and speaking? So it wasn't like she's in the background. She took a front row seat of this. So that was definitely profitable for her to do it until it was too much and it was exposed. Todd, you're about to say something?
Well, yeah. And just because they signed the HIPAA release, I guess my question would be, would a therapist who's a good therapist and has some, and just my thoughts, has some morals, would they actually do that? One of the, when this first came out, one of the first things I thought of is she going to write a book? Is she going to try and profit off this whole horrible story and the information that she learned about Rex Heuermann behind closed doors? It was the first thing that came to mind.
I'm not saying that ethics are, you know, getting close to being extinct, but I think that's exactly what you're talking about. The ethics just aren't there. And that's happening in a lot of professions. Mm. I hate to say it, but still, I think this is completely an ethical question.
Absolutely. Like court clerks in a Murdoch case?
Yes.
Exactly like that case, yes.
You know, greed does amazing, horrendous things to human beings. You know, we get caught up in the cult of more and the disease of comparison, and we do horrendous things that are contrary to all things with morals and ethics as a species. And when we sit back and we're watching the show of their lives do these things, it's befuddling. But again, I got a theme today. The theme is loving critic. I had it with Becky Hill, you know, in Murdoch case. Like, what loving critic in Becky Hill's case, in a Murdoch case, her as a court clerk, said it was a great idea to write a book during the case.
Yeah.
And I mean, who does that? And then in this case too, what loving critic, in other words, who does she have a close enough relationship to her in her life that she's sharing what she's doing and they say, that's a great idea. Do all this unlicensed. That's a fan. Oh, you want to go on Peacock and talk about this case and you're unlicensed? That's a great idea too. Do that. In other words, anytime I was going to do something big in my career, whether it was, you know, had to do, usually is operationally in some way. I've said it before on the show. I was a type of operator in the world of counterintelligence. I love pushing the bounds of what we were allowed to, never legal, but we had policies and I'd always be right on that edge pushing because policies kept us from doing, in my opinion, the great righteous work. And my wife would always ask me these questions, the simplest question ever. Before I wanted to take an action on something where I was pushing that bound, she always said, so did you tell Steve? Steve was my supervisor. And I say, well, and he goes, well, if you're not comfortable telling Steve, then you shouldn't be doing it. In other words, the test of transparency, and that is the greatest test of whether we should or shouldn't be doing something. If you can't be completely honest and transparent of what you're doing and everything that's going on, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And in this case, think about this. If she was transparent in the fact that she wasn't licensed, would any of this have happened?
Probably not, right?
Then why'd you do it?
That's why I bring up the whole book thing or making some money off of it. Good question here to start with. The victim's family said flat out their daughters weren't taken seriously for years because of the work they did. That's on law enforcement as much as it is on Rex. And that's from Karen on Facebook. I just want to mention this. After listening to Bob Mata's podcast on John Wayne Gacy, buried inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation, there's a lot of similarities here with police officers, law enforcement, and wanting to kind of sweep things under the carpet because the victims were not bankers or socially acceptable in the community and all that stuff. So in this case, we had sex workers in John Wayne Gacy. We had primarily young men who were gay. There's a lot of similarities here. And I wonder how much responsibility does fall on the law enforcement folks in the Rex Heuermann story.
That is a really tough area. It's a heartbreaking area too. I've covered these cases. I've been part of a few task forces that were trying to address this out in LA, believe it or not. I remember years ago, I was out in LA working with, California Highway Patrol. It was California Highway Patrol. And they were trying to up their number of pimps they were trying to put away. In order to put away these horrendous human beings that were trafficking women, you had to have the women willing to testify and share with you the horrendous life that they're being forced to live. And the fear factor they had of law enforcement locking them up was also a thing they had overcome. And they didn't have, because of the pressures they were having on top, these investigators were trying their best to make these inroads with the girls to try to have them overcome their fear of sharing. Because these girls are living in complete fear. They're fearing everyone because they're being trafficked by these horrendous traffickers. They're fearing the law enforcement for locking them up and taking away. I mean, it's just nothing but fear. And so that's one problem is the fear of law enforcement, the fear of reciprocity. Then you have the other aspect of it, and so wholeheartedly what you're talking about, Todd, and that is what society disenfranchises them because of this, because there's a lack of understanding that I've never known one case that I've ever covered in my career that it was a choice. It was someone who is trafficked. I mean, just look at all the girls that got tied up in the Epstein case. Not one. If you ever watched, what's her name's book? I've read it on the Epstein case.
Gazelle.
Guffrey. Jenny. Guffrey.
Yep.
Not one of those girls ever made a choice to do this. They were totally trafficked into this lifestyle, and so that is the one aspect of the surrender side. Then you actually have the law enforcement side of. We've covered this before too. So here I am. I'm an investigator. I have in front of me upwards of almost 100 cases. And when I was at headquarters and I had all these cases, and even as a field agent, I had all these cases, the squeaky wheel got the oil. And the squeaky wheel is who's going to call in, what boss is going to call me, what parents are going to call me, what victims are going to call me and nag the living hell out of me righteously. It's not that any case was more important than another. You try to take them sequentially as they come in. And what happens is that they get reshuffled and reprioritized by people above you, by families, because you're yanked all these different ways because your own emotional compulsion want to do these things, but then you're yanked another way. In other words, there's never enough law enforcement officers and investigators to cover all the cases. And so they're going to cover the ones that are getting a lot of the noise. And so that's a horrendous aspect of it. There's no right answer to this, except they just need more people to do this. And just save girls from trafficking in the first place. We got to focus on the trafficking aspect hugely, because that is such, if you just take out the root cause, then all these other things just start fixing themselves. And being anti-child trafficking and it's slavery. It's literally international slavery, because a lot of these things are even happening. They come to our country internationally. I mean, just the work I did with Innocent Lives Foundation really brought a lot of that to light for me as well.
I have to say that is probably the best description of what goes through a law enforcement officer's mind when they're sitting there with those cases. So I want to thank you for that, Robin, because
it's heartbreaking.
You think about, you know, you have, as you said, 100 cases in front of you. The one you're going to be working on is that one with that squeaky wheel. And unfortunately, some of the people who are on the fringes of society don't have somebody being that squeaky wheel for them.
And you know, Lisa, and thanks for that. I mean, I get really misty talking about this because, and I guarantee you this, these law enforcement officers are going to go to save these girls. And they learn how to work and argue to be allowed to do that work. And they're then being told they can do that work. Like, I'm going to go on the glass half full on this. But then it gets down to the next challenge. It goes back to that first challenge I talked about, is how do you inspire these girls to share? Because if they're not willing to testify and put their lives potentially in danger if they don't get a conviction, they could die. And they live in that kind of fear. And so it's, and what happens is I told these guys, the state troopers, I said, unfortunately, the thing you need to do in order to do this effectively is you need time and patience, because you need to establish that these girls can trust you over a period of time at a tempo that they feel comfortable in doing it. You need to develop a relationship. And they said, I totally get it. But the boss says, if we don't get a result in a collar and an arrest at this timeline, we got to move on. And so you have this incongruency between what we can get. Because again, what's that come down to? Why the boss is doing that? It's not that the bosses are insensitive. In order to get the grants and the funding, they have to be able to show the stats. If you can't get the stats because you actually can't develop the relationships in a time that the stats say you need the relationship in order to get the funding for the grant and get the, see what I mean? Yeah. This is such a horrendous system, but that's what actually, as Bob says, the sausage, how it's made behind the scenes. It's not that I've known some, remember, you don't go into, again, there's bad apples out there. I luckily never worked with any. Law enforcement and first responders and people in this line of work don't do it to make a living and become rich off the government's dime. You can't. I mean, you do it because you care so deeply about human beings and you're doing your best to save them. And so when you care so deeply about human beings, what are the ones you're doing? You want to save the ones most disenfranchised. But the system can become really cumbersome to work with. And that's why the senior guys, holding on to senior guys, is so important too, because they understand how to work that system. I mean, by the end of my career, dude, I knew our system down. Anyway, I digress.
We got time for one more question on this. We'll make it real quick before we wrap up. This is from Tom on Facebook. Families in that courtroom straight up said they think there are more victims that he hasn't been charged with. If that's true, does closure even mean anything here?
I'm agreeing on this. I think there are more victims. I mean, we've said this before too. His only, human's only currency he has left in life is information. And there's no way in living hell a psychopathic, narcissistic, self-serving, sadistic ass like him is going to give up all his information at that. He's holding on to it to dole out as he wants the next thing, as he wants that criminal notoriety, as he wants that grandiosity to see how great he is so he can have the BAU interview him and be part of some great study. There's no way he's given it all up. I don't think it at all. And so will there ever be closure for anyone? There'll be closure for some, I think, in years, but never enough because there's so many victims out there still. And now, I mean, just think about this. All the ones that had daughters that are still missing and they live in either that part of New York or the Carolinas or in Vegas that he traveled to and his family had vacations in, they're always, if they have a daughter that went missing, will there ever be closure, you know, for them on that? It's a long, tough road for those families. I give my thoughts, prayers, and hugs to them as they struggle through that.
Lisa, I'm going to give you one last word on this, and then we'll wrap up the show.
I don't know how I could top anything that Robin did today.
I know. Honestly. Sorry for putting you in that position. But
put me in the position to try to top. No, it's not happening. But no, I think this has been a very interesting discussion in that we've taken a couple of different tacks this morning, and I'm glad we did this.
Yeah.
You're all very kind, as we feel. Thank God for the last day.
Listen, you've done a great job today, Robin. Nice job.
And you're great.
And how the sausage is made, so everyone that's tuned in just know I'm actually working off of a new teleprompter today. I bought a new camera because I felt so bad the other day. I didn't do as good as Tony does. So I literally bought new equipment over the weekend, trying to tweak it and anything. Anyway, all that being said, that's a wrap for today's show. Tomorrow, Tony is back from his honeymoon. Make sure to hit like and follow Hidden Killers wherever you get your podcasts. For Todd, Lisa, and myself, have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow at 11 Central for Hidden Killers Live.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.